All right, welcome back in. The Buster Coaches Show here on AM 1030 KBUF alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. We will say it was disappointing, a 20-10 loss for Garden City to Butler. And I'm gonna come out and say this. You can slap me, Ross. Okay. So can you, Coach Miller.
I can't wait.
If that, and no disrespect, because Butler's defense I thought played pretty well.
Yeah.
But if that's the four-time national champions, I'm 6'9 and 288. Because out of Coach Morrill's, all of his teams that he's brought in and that you've seen now for the last couple of years, Matt, that was not his best team. And in all honesty, and I haven't seen the film, I know you've broken it down probably from as soon as you went to the locker room. It's a game that not only should Garden City have won, Garden City should have won probably by maybe three touchdowns.
We had our opportunities. There's no denying that fact. First half, obviously, our defense did a tremendous job, all night. And again, it's become expected. And again, our coaches do a great job getting them prepared. We had several opportunities. First drive of the game, we had a wide open guy in the end zone. We don't throw the football for some reason. Mm-hmm. Then we have the crucial. With the third and inches, fourth and inches, we get it by 2 yards, and they don't give us the first down. That's 14 points right there.
How did they not see that?
It's 17-0 at halftime. If we just execute a couple simple things, and the officials want to just call a regular game.
And I'll let Ross get one in here too. But I called first down on the air. I said that's a first down because all he had to do. In fact, even if he didn't get it by a yard, the nose of the football just has to get inside the five, and he's got the first down. And I know it's not here nor there now because the game's over and we can't do anything about it. But that's as bad a call. And I even said that on the intentional grounding as well. That's as bad a call as I think we've seen all season long.
There were some calls definitely that we find questionable, but other teams in our conference seem to like to send in film throughout the week and cry. So I guess maybe we'll cry this week and send in some film and maybe get the officials to understand some of the things that happened to Garden City. So generally, as me and my coaching staff, we like to just get our team prepared, go play the football game, and then get our team prepared for the next week and not worry about who's playing for who or what happened in the ball game or complain about officials. But in cases like this, what happened Saturday night, and what I found almost amazing is the officiating crew Saturday night got reprimanded for how they officiated our Hutch game, yet we get the same exact crew for our Butler game. Doesn't make sense to me, but I've got to live with the rules, and I respect the conferences, making those decisions. So we live by them. We lost. We got to face the facts, and that's the way it goes.
I love officials. I absolutely love officials. Hey, when you sit there and look at this, too, and one, first off, good to see you back.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
I actually went on a couple message boards on Go Power Cats. Some guy from Kansas City made it out here from Kansas City to come out and actually just watch this ball game, though, and commented at how well you looked with your shirt and your beard going on and stuff like that, and was said that talked about the talent on both sides of the ball. I mean, you really get into something like this, into these ball games, and obviously Heinen's got some talented people, everybody, Jack Juco, but you try to understand and try to get people to explain to people that you're looking at future great D1 players, and some are already D1, on both sides of the ball out there, and the level of talent out there, and you try to tell somebody, man, you need to come down and watch this football game because these teams right here, what Garden City's got going on right now, is some excellent, excellent kids, and then you got to have great coaching staff to be able to control these kids too on top of that.
Well, absolutely. I think, anybody that comes to a Jayhawk Conference, football game, I don't think anybody, leaves, upset that they came to see that ball game. I think there's fantastic players throughout the conference. Each week I see guys that I know I'm going to be watching on College Game Day, and we've got quite a few of them on our team, which is nice to have. And, it's fun coaching them, and, they do have to be, at this level, they are a little bit raw, and if you have the right coaches in, you can do some special things. And, I've got the right coaching staff in. I think we got the right coaches. I know we got the right players. I know we have the right coaches. I know we have the right players as well. And that's what's disappointing about, these two losses. They've been games we easily could have won, but we didn't. But we do understand also that if we, focus, on, just our next three, one at a time, we got a chance to get in the playoffs and, play one of these two again, maybe both of them. So, we will never be scared of that. We'll be excited.
I want to toss one more here real quick. Do you ever look at a game as a measuring stick?
You know, you can at times. I think, you know, early in the season, basically to see where your team's at and what you need to improve upon. At this point in the season, hopefully you've got a good feel for your team. You know what it's good at, what it struggles with. Unfortunately, on the offensive side of the ball at times right now, we are inconsistent. We've got guys that make fantastic plays, and then guys that don't. You know, Tyreek Hill's really stepping up for us in the role that we need him to. Because when you have some guys that are struggling that we have on offense at this time in the past couple games, you need your stars like Tyreek Hill to step up, and he's doing that. But again, we've got to get a lot more consistent on offense, and that's I don't think that's very hard to see when you watch this play.
That is Matt Miller, head coach of the Busters, joining us here on the Busters Coaches Show live from Jack Sports Grill on the corner of Campus and Mary in Garden City. It is $1.50 taco night, so come on down. Place is starting to fill up. I want to get to the quarterback situation, and we saw three of them. I've always been a guy that when I saw Mikal Grace, like the first day in practice, I said, well, this kid is an athlete. You and I have talked about this. I've talked about it with Jeff Kelly and Joe Gordon. And, boy, he came in. I know he didn't have the reps, but just the threat of him running, obviously, was something I know. But Akeem, obviously, didn't have the greatest game. Was kind of up and down. Jake came in, and the pocket collapsed. I mean, Butler was sending, I think, 13 guys. I know this is going to be – it's going to be a long week for you guys as far as the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's going to be it is going to be a long week. You know, we've gone into this week where we have not named a starter yet. And that's, again, due to inconsistent play at the quarterback position. There's certain things that, we ask a quarterback to do. And there's some simple things that we give him directions where to go with the football on certain plays when we know guys are wide open. And if they're not executing, the simplest things in our offense, we've got problems. And that's been a problem the past couple games at times for us at the quarterback position. So the change that, we went with Jake. I thought Jake made some nice throws. That's not to say Akeem's not going to start. I don't know. But again, Akeem, he's a true freshman, but, we played seven games now. So, again, he's got to start maturing, and his, progression level as a quarterback's got to improve a lot greater than it is right now. And so, Jake gives us somebody solid, so that knows our offense and that has talent. Jake Kern can throw the football. Made some tough throws the other night. Mikal Grace is kind of a curveball in there. He's a guy that, as a quarterback, you need tons of reps. He hasn't gotten any in a long time. We did throw him in there just to try to get a spark going. Unfortunately, had the fumble. But he did come in there and give us a spark for a little bit. But, is there a question at quarterback? Yes. Do I feel someone's going to step up and play well for us Saturday? I do. So we'll get someone ready, and they'll play well.
Well, I can't wait, to tell you the truth, because you got some good ones coming in. But I want to talk to you about, you being a quarterback, going through the Snyder system. Sometimes, do guys get that deer in the head, like looks? And I'm going to say this about Akeem. I didn't realize that. I was kind of thinking that he didn't show any injury when he was down there. And when you decide to make the move there, I thought, okay, well, he's been looking long instead of looking short, because we've had some guys open there. And I just thought that there were times that he was able to pull up and take off and go. But talk about the difficulty, because this is a new world for me. I was never a quarterback other than in my dreams in my backyard. But the thing is, that when you've got pressure on you, that you've got individuals coming in wanting to take your helmet off, you got somebody talking to you in your ear, concentration level.
It's the toughest position in sports to play. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Each play, you don't have you have the total offense, in your head, mentally. You got the play, you got to look at the defense, you got to evaluate what's going on, you got to figure out who's blitzing, you got to get yourself in the right protection. If you're in the wrong run play, you got to check yourself into the right run play. And that's all before the ball snapped. Then the ball snapped, they could fall into switch coverage on you. Then your read changes from maybe one side of the field to the other. And then bullets are flying across, guys are coming right and left at you, And again, when you're a young quarterback like Akeem, people are going to come at you. So it is, to say that I don't understand and feel for him and understand, how difficult it is, the position that he's in right now, that's a lie. I fully do. And we have conversations about this every time. But, what I'm saying is I need someone just to be in there to do the simple things, get us the football, move the football. When they give us easy throws, just take advantage advantage of them and not try to do too much. And sometimes when you're that young, you try to do too much. And, you know, hopefully maybe it was a little wake-up call for Akeem. We'll see out of practice this week. Again, but the kid's loaded with talent. He's going to sign big-time D1. There's no doubt about it. I'm just trying to win the next three ball games, so we're trying to figure out who the best guy is in those next coming 3 weeks, knowing what Akeem Jones has for his future.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll focus on your defense because let's put it this way, and we've said this, that this might be the best defense that this school has seen in a very, very long time. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Also focus on Brandon Bergeron and Highland, which comes to Buffalo Stadium on Saturday. It is the Buster Coaches Show live here on AM 1030 KBUF. All right, back on the Coaches Show alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. We have Matt Miller, and obviously, like we said, it's good to have him back. That's first and foremost and the most important thing. So, and you look great, by the way.
I appreciate that.
You're hitting the weights now?
No. just trying to get my new diet in order.
Yes, so. And yep. And as long as you're healthy, we're good. Yep. So. A loss, a 20-10 loss to Butler on Saturday, and we keep going back to some of the things, and we've been talking even off the air about the chances and the different things that you've seen on film. This defense, though, and I've said it, I'm going to keep saying it, and what Jeff Kelly and Joe Gordon and Coach Rodriguez and everybody that's involved in the defensive side of the ball, even in yourself, this defense is the best defense Garden City's had maybe since the national runner-up team in 2000. I mean, this is – forget the yards.
Yeah.
Butler is a team that came in averaging almost 430 yards a game, and they made them look as ordinary. In fact, you know, they only gave up 13 points because the touchdown run back by Cook for a touchdown. I mean, that defense is outstanding, and we say it every week.
Yeah, as I said, you know, as I said before, they're doing their usual stuff. If that we're going into games now, expecting that to happen as an offense, that's a great feeling to have. Again, you know, I talk about the offense, but we're not that far off. You know, I think I picked off 7 plays, no matter what kind of calls are made on the football field, that if one guy makes just one block here, or a quarterback looks where he's supposed to throw to the football and makes an accurate throw to a wide open guy, I think I picked 7 of them. It's 7 touchdowns. I mean, so this game could have got out of hand, and that's what's so frustrating. But we didn't make it happen, and we did not make plays when they were given to us on offense. Our defense had us in position all night to win that football game. That's why it's so frustrating, you know, as a head coach right now. And again, but it's nothing that I'm surprised about. I mean, when you look at our defense, we're loaded with talent. I mean, we've got probably the two best middle linebackers in the country, the best duo. You know, we've got, you know, 5 secondary guys that will all sign Division I. And we've got guys up front that will sign. So, I mean, we're loaded with talent, and then we've got some great coaches as well. So, you know, when you have that mixture, you better be pretty good.
Well, the other thing, and Ross and I were talking about this, and I just want to squeeze this in. Tim Hill gets flagged for
terrible call.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what he got flagged for, but apparently he got the target rule, which I think is the most, and I'm going to say this out loud, and I'm taking a line from your book, by the way, the most ridiculous rule in college football. I understand we're trying to protect receivers, but come on, there's 3 guys in the same. I mean, you lay out the receiver.
The ball was in play.
Yeah.
If he doesn't make a play on that on their receiver, they catch the football.
Yeah, it's first down.
It's a big play in the football game. He just made a football play. Hit the guy with his chest, you know, and it's on their sideline. Guy makes a call, doesn't even see the play because he sees actually Tim Hill's back. He's actually, you know, right behind Tim Hill. Can't even see the receiver running towards Tim Hill. Just sees the guy end up on the ground and makes the call. And then their coaches start yelling automatic ejection, and he makes an ejection call. I was told at our coaches' meetings, you know, in the summertime, they don't want to eject players due to this rule. They don't. They told me they didn't like the deal with having to make that call as officials. So they said the protocol would be they would group as officials, and unless it was 100%, they would not eject that player. That official made the call and then automatically ejected him on his own without conversing with any other official, which is against protocol. So obviously, we're appealing that decision.
But you did go ahead and sit Tim Hill out.
They ejected him from the game. That was a horrible call by them. I would have put Tim Hill back out there.
You know, I sit there and think about some other plays. You know, Sam Green returning one. He fakes to the inside, turns the quarterback around, then goes, pops out outside. He goes for 6. It's just breaks like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, too, Matt, that you sit here and talk about what this team has done. You played a very good team. I mean, it is a very good team that you faced in Butler. You know where you're at, and that's what we were talking about, is that I think that you got into the mind now that you know that you got Butler realizing, you know, Garden City's a good team. I guess I can't use the word I wanted to. not on here, but
go ahead.
Garden City is a pretty doggone good team. Now you've got this role here, and we talked about this. Michael and I were talking about this. Boy, Garden City goes in now. I mean, and we were before the game. Win three or four, you're sitting in very good shape because now it's Murderers Row. I mean, basically Butler, Highland, Coffeyville, and then Dodge City. All very good programs on top of that. Now you're loaded up, and why can't you win three in a row? Because you do face a good Highland team. You go on the road to go to Coffeyville, and then you got Dodge City here.
Well, we're focused on Highland this week, and that's all we can do. Again, as I said, as you know, football coaches and football team, we don't get into all the other nonsense that people want to try to, you know, make around, you know, again, suspensions or turn in videos, stuff like that. We focus on the next opponent. We're focused on Highland. Again, Bergeron's a good quarterback. They're throwing the ball for, you know, I think they're leading the conference in passing. So
passing attempts, too.
They throw it around now. And, you know, Coach Held's done a tremendous job there. Obviously, you know, when you're at Highland, you beat Butler, you're doing something special. So, you know, it's going to be a tough test for us. You know, it's homecoming, so we're excited, you know, to see, you know, another great fan base out there. Again, I can't thank the fans enough. They make, you know, Saturday night so special for our players, for our coaching staffs, for our families. It's just a great atmosphere, and I think it's great for the town. And, you know, we're just lucky to have the fan base that we have, and it makes it a lot of fun.
Yeah, the atmosphere on Saturday I thought was great. And I thought Butler actually showed up with a pretty good contingent, too. So, I mean, both sides were well represented in that regard. So now when you have a team like Highland, I know Butler this year is throwing the ball more this year than they have in years past. Now you go to a team like Highland, who I think they forgot they have a running back there, because Bergeron against Butler threw it like 60 times. So now you have to get your secondary ready, and we know they will be.
Yeah.
What kind of a challenge is this week as opposed to the previous games? Because a lot of people are saying that this kid could be one of the best quarterbacks in the conference.
Well, I think it's a different attack than we've seen. You know, I think, you know, in the past, especially the past couple, Fort Scott tried to overpower us. I think they gave the ball to their leading ball carrier. I think that he 2,000 attempts in that game.
Yeah, well, 2001, actually.
It was ridiculous. and then, you know, this past week, you know, Butler was more of a, you know, they came out and, you know, they tried to power us, which we knew they were going to do. We had a good feeling. Our defense staff did a nice job preparing for that. You know, then you go to these guys, and I mean, the ball is flying all over the place. And you know, he's an accurate passer, good athlete, and they have you know, good. They have a good receiving core that run precise routes, make good catches. And it's definitely going to be a test for our secondary. But again, I said, you know, we have five guys, you know, playing out there for us right now that are all going to go D1, some extremely big D1. So I expect them to step up and do the job. I expect our defensive front linebackers to get the pressure like they've always done. And I expect the same defensive effort and great production out of them again.
You know, you and I listened to actually the Hutch Highland game. To me, Highland in that ball game tried to establish a run and maybe get some, let's see here, maybe put an equal 50-50 run pass. But they run and you know, then tried to pass it, was not successful, got down early to Hutch. Did make a comeback coming versus Hutch. But the thing is, what sounded like to me on Hutch, and you guys will pick this up on film, is that they put a lot of pressure. Hutch got into that backfield back there, and I thought put a lot of pressure on Bergeron. And I really thought it kind of shook him a little bit, only us, you and I, listening.
Yeah.
Now, we weren't there to see the whole thing, though. But you know what? You've got the guys up front that I think that you can put some pressure on Bergeron.
Our guys do a nice job. Coach Rodriguez done a fantastic job with the guys up front, doing a great job. And then, you know, obviously when we bring our guys off the edge or inside, you know, Coach Kelly's got a nice job. And, you know, Coach Kelly, Coach Gordon did a nice job. And then Coach Rodriguez drawn up, you know, blitzes and do a nice job. And then anytime, you know, if I was a quarterback, anytime I got, you know, underneath center and I saw DeMonte Derricotte, that put a little fear, a little extra fear in me to start with before we bring anything. So, you know, we're tough, and they're going to play well.
Here's the thing I want to get to, and it's almost like, you know, you see this number, and it's just like, wow, is that actually happening? But looked at the third down conversion rate on Saturday, and I had you at 1 for 20. And that, to me, is like, maybe I had like an error going on, but the third down play, obviously, that's – and that hurt you guys big time.
Yeah, that's. I don't really, you know, it's atrocious. It was, you know, about as much as I can say.
Now, when I say that, on the other side, the defense, I mean, they didn't have a lot of third down conversions, we'll say that, but they did have, I think it was like 5 of 12. But the third down conversions, they always seemed to get them when it was like 3rd and 12 or 3rd and 13. You guys made a lot of big time defensive plays, but it was those five big third down conversions that they had. in my opinion, that kind of swung the game. And obviously, the officials did too. But
Our defense had us in that ball game. Our defense, I can't say anything. They did put us, in bad shape to win the ball game. Offensively, the sad thing is the plays were there on third down, and we just did not execute. And those are a lot of the plays that I was discussing earlier. So, if it was, a scheme thing or things we're trying to do, we've proven that we're good at the stuff that we're doing right now. But, again, inconsistent play at numerous positions is hurting us. And, again, it just takes one guy to screw up a play for 11. So,
I want your folks to get back here to Garden City, because when they've been here at Garden City, you've won.
Every time.
I'm a little bit disappointed that they didn't make the trip that Les and Joyce decided to think of only themselves and stay home on this. But
we needed them.
Hey, I also want to talk about another factor here real quick. Like, you guys get an opportunity to recruit. How do you go about this at this time of year when, like I said, you got game after game after game right now? You guys just only able to make contact, do the Twitter thing, do texting? How can you guys make contact?
You make contact various ways. You can't talk to the student athletes, but your coaches can go out generally a lot of times on Fridays to different high schools to check out and let the high school coach know that you're interested. Phone calls, texts. There's different ways. Now, I'm kind of in the Bill Snyder mode. I don't attack it probably near as hard as some people do in season, but we're definitely on top of things. As I said, last year we got the job, I think, 2.5 weeks before signing date, and we still did an exceptional job recruiting. So, to me, if we handle our business, show people that we can put a winner on the football field, the coaching staff we have, and the great city of Garden City, the great college, led by Dr. Swinner, doing a great job, and the backing we have from Ryan Ruda, Colin Lamb, D. Wigner, everybody here, all the special things, you guys, everything that's going on here at Garden City sells itself. So when it comes time to, focus in and get, these guys on campus and have them check things out, we're going to have a team that had a very successful season, and they're going to see a lot of great people and meet a lot of great people and see this is a great place to come, spend a year or two of your life and win a lot of football games, get better, in all phases of your life.
Take a quick break, come back. We'll wrap things up on the Buster Coaches Show live from Jack Sports Grill. All right, wrapping things up on the Buster Coaches Show live from Jack Sports Grill alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. Buster's taking on Highland. And if you look at the past history in this series, Garden City has absolutely dominated Highland in years past. Highland did beat Garden City back in 2010. That's the matchup coming up on Saturday, 6:30 Taco Bell pregame show, 7 o'clock, myself and Ross Miller from Buffalo Stadium. We got about 60 seconds left, so I want to get, just your final thoughts on, going in after a disappointing loss. We saw this after the Hutch game, but you guys had a week off after that. So it's a little bit different now. You guys don't have to, simmer a little bit, but you get to get back out there. So that's got to be a huge advantage for you.
Tremendous, tremendous advantage. It's having an off week after loss, I mean, that's agony. So to be able to get back, get back on the field tomorrow, full pads, start hitting, putting your focus on another opponent, you got to have short memories in this business. So, our guys, I think, put this game behind us, understand where we need to improve. And we obviously got a lot of room for improvement. And, we can improve on both sides of the ball. And that's our goal every week. And we're excited to get back out there and, get that happy feeling of a victory this Saturday.
Another thing, too, is the offensive line, which you and I talked about this on the postgame show. Well, the protections broke down in the second half. First half, I thought that the offensive line did a pretty good job. Second half was a different story. What was different, I guess, in the second half?
It's just, as I said, inconsistent play. It's at some offensive line positions as well. You look at it's crazy. You look at the stats. We had the ball for 19 minutes of the first half. We were on the field the whole time. And, we just didn't execute. And, as I said, the score should have been a lot different at halftime. But it's just inconsistency with a couple guys at key times, that are costing us. And, those are things that we've got to get corrected.
Well, Coach, we always appreciate you coming on, and we're glad you're back, number one.
I appreciate
one.
It. Great to be back, guys.
And we'll see you on Saturday.
All right, thanks so much. Great
there
job.
There you go. That is Matt Miller joining us here on the Coach's Show. That's going to wrap things up. Next time you'll hear from us will be on Saturday, 6:30 Taco Bell pregame show, 7 o'clock kick. It'll be Butler and Highland right here on AM 1030 KBUF and on Western Kansas News. Thanks to Brett Erskine back in the studio. For my partner, Ross Miller, I'm Mike Pilosoff. We'll talk to you on Saturday. Good night.